Glad to be here once again. A couple different things. So as we were going to, or God was working in our hearts to change to New York City, one of the things that was very different for us was New York City was somewhere we had never been. As I mentioned, the only time I had gone through it was when we went from JFK to LaGuardia on my first trip to China. And that was all we had experienced as we went to New York City. Crystal and the kids, of course, we had never been there. And so I joke around a lot. I said I felt like a normal missionary at that point when we said we did a field change. Because many times missionaries, they said, we're going to this country. God has called us there, but we've never been there yet. And that was how we felt. Because when we went to China, we had, of course, in 2006, I spent 10 days there. In 2010, the two of us took a trip. It was a very intelligent trip. You see, Crystal was 7 months pregnant with our daughter, Evelyn, and we did a 14-hour flight to China. Brilliant move on my part. But we went there, we visited there, and of course, we spent 6 months there before we ever started raising funds to go to China originally. So we are very familiar with China. But New York City was very different. So I feel like I'm learning and catching up on a lot of things because we learned a lot then, but now we are now having to learn a lot more things about New York City. And so I have a few favorite stories there. One of them, of course, has to do with my having to do with baseball because I enjoy baseball. And that has to do with Jackie Robinson. He was the first African-American baseball player, of course, and a lot of people know his name. His name is known very much because he played for the Dodgers, not the Los Angeles Dodgers, because at that time they were the Brooklyn Dodgers. And the Brooklyn Dodgers, they were called that because there in Brooklyn they had trolleys that would go around, and they would have to dodge the trolleys to get to Ebbets Field where they played. And a lot of people know Jackie Robinson, but they may not know the name Branch Rickey. Branch Rickey was the general manager of the Dodgers at the time, and what motivated him to want to sign Jackie Robinson was he was a devout Christian, and he knew that all men were created equal in the image of God, and he believed that they should allow African Americans to play as well. And so they were there, and I say all that because, you see, when he was making his decision to sign Jackie Robinson, many times before the games on Sundays, what he would do is he would go and he would, before going to Ebbets Field, there were many churches in Brooklyn. Brooklyn was known as the city of churches for many years. And he would go to a church and he would go there to the service and then he would go to the game. And before he was making this decision about Jackie Robinson, he went to one of his most trusted pastor friends that he knew, and he went to his office and he got counsel from him about this big decision because he knew it was going to be a very hard decision. And that's amazing to think of when you think of Brooklyn as being the city of churches, that he could just find a church with a good pastor that he could talk to. And today, it is so very different in New York City. We actually, just this past week, we had a teammate move into the city, a single lady. She's looking for an apartment there. And my wife, I don't know why it's kind of a hobby of hers. She likes to look at apartments, I guess. But she went there and she was looking online, I think trying to help her out. And she found an old church that was for rent, except this old church, I don't know what denomination, I don't know anything about it, it was in Brooklyn, but this old church has been converted from a church to a beautiful apartment, and that's what it is now. It's an apartment building. Many churches have closed. Many churches have, they don't exist anymore, even though they did. And there was a great need there in New York City. And so let's go in our Bibles today to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. That's just a story to highlight kind of, once again, the need that is there. We talked to a lady, she grew up in Queens, near where we grew up. She knew a lot of the places that we had, and she said it is so different now than what it was when she was a little girl growing up in Queens. We'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, continuing on as we're going through this passage from chapter 3 into the end of chapter 4. We'll finish up in the morning service at the end of chapter 4. We're going to just do these first six verses here in chapter number 4. As we're going, chapter 4, verse 1, it tells us this: therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Again, that's our kind of our key verse with this whole passage, that having this ministry, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, last night we talked about how this ministry was not of us. This ministry of giving the gospel is a ministry of life and a ministry of freedom. As we continue in this, we must remember that as believers, we have been given this ministry. Again, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we having this ministry by the mercy of God, that it is only by God's mercy we have this ministry. This ministry has been given to us. God could have done whatever he wanted. I think of the story in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter number 10, with Cornelius and Peter. That Peter, at the beginning, of course, the Jews thought the gospel, the salvation, was only for the Jews. And it took God sending a literal vision to Peter to get him to go to a Gentile house. But you see, Cornelius, who is called a God-fearing man in the book of Acts, it says that an angel came to him. Now, that angel came to him and didn't tell him about Jesus. He said, "I'm going to send somebody to tell you about my son, Jesus Christ." You see, God could have sent angels. God could have sent anything he wanted. He could have written it in the sky. He could have done whatever he wanted. He chose to use us to do this. And that is by God's mercy we have that. So now we're going to see that this ministry, to be honest, it can be very difficult. And we're going to have to get through that. And I promise it's going to get kind of rough. But the fact is, at the very end of it, we will see the hope again. Once we see again that hope we have. So first of all, let's start here. It says, "We do not preach the gospel in a deceitful way." Chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God." We don't trick people to believe in Jesus. That's basically what that's saying here. We don't trick people to believe in Jesus. And sadly, in many places, that can be the case. That you go, especially you look at Africa and missions in Africa and places in many different, even in China, this is there. The prosperity gospel is everywhere. And you think, well, China, that's a closed country. That's a place, I mean, how could you have the prosperity gospel in a country that says it's illegal to have a church? But it is there that you say, well, if I become a Christian, things can go easy for me. I can have money. And that's what many people do. We don't do that, though. We preach the gospel, Christ and him crucified. We do not tamper with God's word. We preach what it says and how it says it. That's what we must do. We must boldly and clearly preach the truth. That's our God. That's our calling. That's what God has called us to do. However, though we may preach the Bible plainly, though we may preach it clearly, though we may proclaim it in all of its truth, there are problems. There will be problems, and it doesn't have to necessarily do with us. Again, I talked about last night, you're probably not going to go up there and tell people to believe in Buddha, you know, but there are problems that we're going to have, and it has to do with the lost and the condition that they are in. And that's what we see next. The lost are in a very bad condition. Verses 3 and 4. It says, "Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Now, if you grew up like I did, I grew up in a very, very conservative church, and we grew up, and I'm very familiar with the King James Version of the Bible. And so in that verse, it says, if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Causes a lot of confusion because sometimes that verse is used to say, if we're hiding the gospel, kind of we got it and we're hiding it, then people won't get it. But that's not what this verse is saying here. What that verse is saying is, it says it right here, if the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now, if you remember last night, we talked about the veiled hearts that men have, the veil that is on the hearts of men, particularly the Israelites. That the end of chapter number 3, it says that even to this day, there is a veil on the hearts of the Israelites. That if they would turn to Christ, that veil would be taken away. And that's the same idea of this passage here. That the hearts of men are veiled to the gospel. that they are hidden. Just the same way Moses' face was hidden, that veil is on their hearts. Sometimes we hear many missionary stories about going to the field and how there's people there that are just waiting for them to get there. And sometimes you get those stories, but what I found is those stories are often few and far between. To be honest, we have experienced those kinds of stories. I mentioned Victor last night. Victor, who had placed his faith in Christ, he said, "I kind of always knew there was something, but I didn't know what it was until you told me." There was another girl we met, we were studying the Bible with before we left because of COVID. Her name was Victoria. And Victoria, she sat in our living room, and we were asking her, we said, "Do you want to believe this?" And she said, "I've always known there's something. I've sat there as a young teenager in middle school." She had her grandmother take her to the state-run church that does not preach the gospel there because she said, "I know there's something more to this." And she said, "I went there, I know this is true, but I'm not ready to believe it yet." Those stories happen. But those stories are often few and far between. When we got off the plane in China, when we drove into New York City, I had a 26-foot-long Penske truck. Can you imagine driving that into New York City? It was terrifying. And you see, as we got there, there was no welcoming committee say with banners that say, "Thank you, Ben and Crystal, for bringing the gospel to us." It wasn't there. No missionaries get off the planes with those kinds of welcomes. Why? Because the hearts of men are veiled because of their own unbelief. Romans chapter 1 tells us that they see the truth, that there is a God, but the majority of people, they see that there is a God, they see creation, but instead of worshiping the creator, they worship creation instead. That we see men's hearts are veiled in their unbelief. And it's sad to see, but it happens. But not only is it difficult because men's hearts themselves are veiled, but we also see that Satan himself has blinded their minds. That's what verse number 4 tells us. In their case, the god of this world, that Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You see, Satan is trying to destroy all that bear God's image. And his best way to do it is that he does not operate in a lot of ways, but the biggest way is he operates in false religion. That he blinds them that they will not believe. But you know, the truth is that Satan only has so many lies. He only has so many lies. And if you go anywhere in this world, and I've been blessed, I've been able to go to Peru, South America. That was my first mission trip where God called me into missions. I was able to go, to China. I've been to, spent one whole day in Kyiv, Ukraine because of that crazy trip over there. But you know, see, I've seen different places. I've been in different religions. And you know what's really crazy is they're very similar. You go to Peru, and one of the things they would do is they would take us to a convent where the nuns were. And they would show us all these different things. And they would take the rosary, those beads. They would pray through each one of those, pray the rosary. Even now, I don't know, I've seen the sign, I've seen billboards. It said, "Pray the rosary." That's what it says. Well, if you go over to China, where I was, you know what they have? They don't call it the rosary, but they have those prayer beads. And they want you to pray through them. That they have so many similarities and so many different religions, so many different places. They're all very similar, but they're in different ways. Because you see, again, Satan only has so many lies. He repackages them, puts a new bow on it, but it's all really the same. It's kind of the same stuff in different ways. So why then would we try? Why then would we try and get the gospel to people? Why then would we work so hard? Why would we, again, support missions? Why would we invite people to church? Why would we hand out tracts? Why would we do these things if men's hearts are veiled in their own unbelief? Why would we try this if Satan himself is working against us? And let's just be honest, he's been doing this a lot longer than any of us have done this. So why would we even try? Well, it's because the same word last night that we have and going through this whole thing, we have hope. we have hope. And that's what verse 5 and 6 has here. And these are the two reasons we're going to see this morning why we have hope. It says, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We have hope this morning because we proclaim Jesus. That's the first reason. And we start right there. We don't proclaim ourselves. We know in and of ourselves we can't save anyone. I know in New York City there is no hope in Ben Johnson that can save New York City because it's not me. I know there's no hope that I can save anyone because I know I couldn't save China. I can't save New York City. Couldn't save my wife. Couldn't save my daughter. Can't save my son because it's not me. I know no matter what we can think of, I mean, we can think of so many different things, but we know this, we can't save in and of ourselves. We have nothing that can save anyone because I needed salvation myself. That we can look at all different kinds of messages in this world and we can think there's some great things in different things, but the only thing that can save men is Jesus Christ. You see, there's no political message that can save a soul. There's no financial plan that can save a soul. There's no self-help book that's out there that can save a soul. Only Jesus Christ can save. Because the Bible tells us very plainly, if we don't have Jesus Christ, if he did not come and die on the cross and rise again, then this morning we have no reason to be here. There's no reason to be together. There's no reason to sing. There's no reason to even talk about this stuff. Because the Bible tells us if Jesus didn't die and rise again, our faith is in vain. It is empty. It is worthless. It has nothing that can truly help anyone eternally. But we know this. Christ did come to this earth. He came to this earth living a perfect life, dying on the cross, not for anything he had done, but all for the sins of you and for me. That Christ died for all men. And that should give us hope this morning. That no matter who they are, no matter where they are, no matter what language they may speak, we know this, Christ died for them. Because Jesus didn't just die for you and for me, he died for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2 tells us that very plainly, that we know Christ died for all men. And that should give us hope. Because you see, you can go out today as you go out this afternoon. You can go out anytime this week. You can hand someone a gospel tract. You can invite them to church. If you get to have a conversation with someone and you give them the gospel, you can know that you can tell them, hey, look, Christ loves you and he died for you. And you know what? It's true. But it doesn't matter, again, where you go in this world. If you were to work a little bit and learn some Chinese, you could fly 14 hours. It's a great short flight. 14 hours, and you can fly over to China. You can land there, get off the plane, find someone there, and say, which means because of your sin, Christ, I know what I said in general. This is bad when you forget what you're saying. Because of your sin, Christ died for you. Even though you sin, Christ died for you. That's what it said. This is bad when you can't translate yourself. maybe at that point I am speaking in tongues. So, but that's what it says. It sounds a lot different in Chinese, but it means the same thing. It is very different in a lot of different languages. I can't even attempt. I took high school Spanish. Problem is I can't roll my R's. So I wanted something easier, you know, Chinese, because I can't roll my R's. It sounds a lot different in that language. It sounds a lot different in so many different languages, but it means the same because it is the same. Because Christ's love is not, his death was not just for one people group. His death was not just for one language, but we see this in Revelation that all tribes and tongues and nations, they will be brought to him because he died for all men. And that should give us hope today. That no matter who they are, no matter where they are, Christ died for them. But not only do we have hope because Christ died for all men, but we have hope this morning because we know God can save. That's what verse number 6 tells us. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I mean, imagine this with me. At one time, there was nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. There was no time. There was no space. There was nothing. It was just God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit all together. And in this nothing, God says, you know what? I think I'm going to make everything. And he says, let there be light. Bang. Light everywhere. That is incredible power. I mean, we can't understand that kind of power because we can't do it. I mean, go home tonight, walk into your house when it's dark. It is getting darker earlier, so you don't have to wait as long. And just say, let there be light when you go in and see what happens. It doesn't count if you have one of those Alexa things. That doesn't count. Alexa, turn on the lights. You know, that doesn't count. But that is how powerful our God was. God is, not just was, is. That when there was nothing, at a time when we can't even say, well, there was nothing, but there was no nothing, because there was no was. See, your head's going to get mixed up in this. It does with me. But there was no time. God just says, let there be light. Bang, light. That's incredible. Well, this verse tells us right here that that same power, the same God, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts. You see, that same power to make the light shine out of darkness is the same power to make the light of the gospel shine in the hearts of men. You see, it doesn't matter how lost we may think people are, God can save them. Because if we look at people, and I know if you're like me, maybe it's just me, but you can look at people and you can think, I don't know if God can really work there. I don't know if God can really save them or that person or those people. Because we can look at them and say, oh, those people over there, well, they are just way, way too religious. They go to church, their church. They do certain things. They go to their religion. They are very devoted. Or those people, they're too worldly. They don't want anything to do with God. They say they hate God. I think of a young man named Ryan that I met in China. Now, Ryan grew up in a very traditional Chinese home. What I mean by that is he was an only child because of China's one-child policy. They're trying to fix that right now. When we landed in 2019, they just made the two-child policy. They just this year made it a three-child policy because they found out by trying to play God, it's messed up their society and the structure. But at this time, Ryan was an only child, and there's a lot of pressure on that only child because that child is the pressure is to do very well because your retirement plan is that child. There's usually no 401ks, there's no, you know, some pensions, but the most people, what they do is they have the one child, hopefully a son, and then when that son gets older, he gets into college, he gets married, he has a child, and then you go and move with him and take care of the grandchild while both the parents are working. And that's how you live out the rest of your days pretty much. And that's the whole family dynamic. And so Ryan had a lot of pressure on him to study very hard. They go to school very intense. In elementary school, it's from about 8 o'clock in the morning till 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. But once they get into middle school, it's school from about 7 o'clock at night till 9 and 10, or 7 o'clock in the morning till 9 and 10 o'clock at night. And the reason they do that is because at 15 years old, they have what's called the Gaokao, the high test, the test that determines the rest of their life, whether or not they get into college, what colleges they can attend based on the test results, and what they can study based on those test results, all at the age of 15. So you can imagine there is a ton of pressure because their mindset the entire time as they're going through is do good, study hard, get into college, get a good job. We need you to do that. And Ryan did well. He passed that test and he did well in physics. And Ryan did so well in physics that they said you can go to the number one physics university in all of China. And that's what he did. And he got his bachelor's degree. Then he got his master's degree. And then he began to work on his PhD. He just finished it this year. Very smart guy. One day I was talking to Ryan. I said, what does your textbook, what's the name of this textbook that you're reading? And he told me it in Chinese. I said, I don't know what that means. Then he told me in English. And I said, I still don't know what that is. This guy was way too smart. Well, Ryan, as he's studying for his PhD, he was going to those English corners I mentioned where he could practice speaking English. And Ryan, he met a young man who was a missionary there, began to give him the gospel. And at first it sounded great to Ryan. Ryan said, hey, if I just believe in Jesus, if I admit my sin, believe in Jesus, I can have a right relationship with God, all my sins forgiven, and I don't have to worry about eternity. But Ryan began to count the cost. He said, if I believe in Jesus, become a Christian, I know this. I could lose out on jobs. As I'm studying for my PhD, I could lose out on scholarships. As I'm doing this, I could be ridiculed. Again, he is studying a science field in a country that says officially we don't believe in God. He said, this could cost me a lot. It could even cost me the relationship I have with my dad. And he said, if it's going to cost this much, then I don't want anything to do with this. And he walked out. But again, that's the story not just for over in China. That's a story for right here in America as well. As so many people will hear the truth, they'll know the truth, just like my dad. My dad growing up, hearing about the gospel, answering, he could answer all the questions about the gospel, exactly how they should be answered. But he knew it in his head, but he hadn't believed it in his heart. And when we see that happen again and again, that people will know the truth, but there's no fruit. They know the truth, but they have head knowledge, but not belief in their hearts. We begin to lose hope because we wonder, can they ever be saved? Ryan is too smart. He is too intelligent. He will never trust in Christ. But you see, what happened was Ryan couldn't get away from the Holy Spirit as hard as he tried. He went about his own life, but the Holy Spirit kept convicting him of sin and righteousness and judgment. Until one day Ryan came back and he said, I don't care what it costs. I don't care what it means. I want to be a Christian. And Ryan put his faith in Christ. You see, God can save no matter who they are, no matter where they are. God can save them. You say, well, how do you know it? Well, certainly this verse is enough. This verse is more than enough. But it tells us very plain and clearly that the light that shined in darkness has shined in. I don't know if you mark in your Bibles, but I urge you, underline these two words, our hearts. Because that's the key. If God can save me, God can save anyone. If God can work in my heart as a young child growing up in church, then God can save anyone. Because I was just as lost as anybody else. Just as in need of a Savior as anybody else. Just as condemned as anyone else. And I didn't deserve salvation just like anyone else. Yet God reached down, and as I heard the gospel being preached, He was able to work in my heart. I was able to make my decision, put my faith in Christ. If He can do that for me, He can do that for anyone, no matter who they are, no matter where they are. So today I simply want to ask, as we're kind of wrapping this up, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm actually going to have Crystal come up because I'm going to let you ask her questions. Maybe you'll ask her questions. And she has a look of shock on her face. She said, right now? No, not right now. Just a minute. But one of the things is that have you maybe forgotten these things? The fact is we know that Christ died for all men and God can save any man. And that should give us hope today. That we know that this ministry can be difficult, that men can, because of their veiled hearts, because Satan himself working against us, it can be difficult. But that's, again, we go back to this, and we're going to see it again this morning as we go into the service. The power is not of us, and that's what gives us hope. Because if it was up to us, this whole world would be lost. But it's not just up to us. We're to obey. We're to do the thing that God has called us to do. But it is ultimately God's power that works. And that should give us hope today. It's not just us working on our own trying to get this thing done, but we have the very God of heaven, the very God who died for all men, the very God who spoke light into darkness on our side. And that should give us hope this morning. So let's remember that as we go through. Let's remember that we have hope, that Christ died for all men, and God can save any man. And that should give us hope this morning. And so now I'm going to